Welcome to LabCorp Perspectives Oncology, where we connect on cancer, science, and patient care. I'm your host, Dr. Rebecca Previs, and I'm a Director of Medical Affairs here at LabCorp. Today, I'm speaking with Suzanne Gardner, who is the Senior Director of Strategic Partnerships at Outcomes for Me. On a personal level, we've known each other for now a few years, and it's been just such a pleasure getting to know you both professionally and personally. I remember that time we were bonding over riding exercise bikes in the gym, and that was just so much fun. So I'm so grateful for you and to the Outcomes for Me team for letting us chat here together today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I want to start with your story, Suzanne, because it's an incredible one. If you don't mind, would you mind sharing with our listeners a little bit about your breast cancer journey and how you became such a strong and powerful self-advocate?
That is a very kind way to describe me. But yes, I'm happy to share my story in hopes that it helps a lot of patients that are coming after me. I became an advocate shortly after my diagnosis because it was a little bit of a complicated path to my ultimate diagnosis. So at 40 years old, I had my OBGYN write the orders to have my first mammogram, because that is what you are supposed to do. And I was not worried about it. And in fact, the results of my mammogram were not concerning. There was nothing in the report that said that there were concerns for cancer. But I have a very up-to-date OBGYN. And she, unfortunately, has a best friend who had her own breast cancer experience. So she, more than most OBGYNs, know all things breast cancer. And what my report did say is that I have very dense breast tissue. And when I tell this part of the story, I want to be really careful about how I say this, because mammograms are the gold standard for screening and for finding early breast cancers. They are safe and they are really important. But sometimes in women with extremely dense breasts, different imaging modalities are needed in addition to mammography. So when she saw how dense my breast tissue was, she suggested that I have a baseline breast MRI. And I agreed to that. And unfortunately, or fortunately, you know, no matter how, which way you look at it, the breast MRI did find a tumor that already had lymph node involvement. So I will forever be grateful to her for that recommendation and that education on understanding the different imaging modalities that were available to me. And at 40, with a four-year-old at home, that diagnosis was so scary, and the path to it being a little less straightforward, I understood from the very start that it was important for me to self-educate on what was happening to me so that I could be an active participant in my treatment options.
And I've been so impressed with your prowess and really self-motivation to educate yourself and honestly, everyone that you meet about, you know, biomarkers. I think that's where we've connected so much on our work together. But you and I have talked about this before. A cancer diagnosis means so many different things. All cancers are created a little bit differently. And so really, there's this critical role for diagnostic testing, biomarker testing, and education. So walk me through your biomarker status and how that ended up playing into your oncologist treatment decisions for you.
Yes. So this is so important. I was somebody with no medical background whatsoever. And I also really, really hated the word cancer. I mean, if cancer was on a TV show or a commercial on the radio, I just turned it off because so scary, right? So when I was diagnosed with cancer myself, I was very overwhelmed, and I made an assumption that breast cancer was one thing. You get diagnosed with breast cancer, there is a breast cancer treatment plan. And while that's sort of true at a very high level, breast cancer is so many different things, and you have to know your biomarker status, and you have to get genetic and genomic testing so that your oncology team can create the best treatment path for your specific type of cancer. So for me, being an early stage breast cancer patient, that was my diagnosis. My biomarker testing were for estrogen, progesterone, and something called HER2. And I was very highly estrogen and progesterone positive and HER2 negative. So those were my biomarker tests. But in addition, we did genetic and genomic testing. So I had genetic testing done for, gosh, I think it was close to 70 different mutations. The most popular that people know about are the BRCA mutations, and also a genomic test called Oncotype, which helps for hormone positive early stage cancer diagnoses to guide your medical oncologist to know if chemotherapy is an appropriate option for you.
And then fast forward, right? You're sitting down in the office with your oncologist. You have results of all of these tests, which are overwhelming and confusing, especially if you're not comfortable or haven't seen these types of results before. Walk us through, you know, how your oncologist put all of this together and eventually arrived at the decision for your treatment.
So what was very surprising to me is that my oncologist did not put all of this together and then just hand me a package of my treatment plan. So he is a brilliant man. I was very privileged to be seen at a big academic NCI, which is National Cancer Institute Center. He was head of breast oncology, and he mostly saw women with hormone positive breast cancers. So he knew his stuff, but there were a lot of different options that I could take. So there were different endocrine therapies. I could have tamoxifen, or I could have an aromatase inhibitor, which required either having an ovarian suppression injection or having my ovaries removed. I could be offered chemotherapy, even though my genomic test showed that I had a low oncotype because I was premenopausal, or I could opt out of that and I would probably be okay too. He presented all of these different options to me, and it was so overwhelming. And I left with my husband, and I got in the car and I cried and I said, he doesn't know what he's doing. He didn't just give me a plan. Like, I need to go get a second opinion, which I did. I got a second opinion and a third opinion. And during that time, I started to come across resources and individuals who helped educate me. And I realized, no, he's just as brilliant as they all say he is. It's just there truly are options. And I got to be an active participant in choosing which treatments were right for me and my lifestyle and my family.
You're right. And there's so much that goes into it, right? Very few times a medicine is something so cut and dry, a one or a zero, black and white. And I mean, a little bit, that's when the kind of evidence and the art of medicine and truly understanding your patient, you know, his or her goals of care, where he or she like is in their life trajectory. And it's overwhelming though, right? I can speak on behalf of the oncologist. Sometimes I have felt overwhelmed just trying to explain the evidence and, you know, where there are gaps in our knowledge and what those unknowns are. So I can fully appreciate that, you know, having a very scary diagnosis like cancer, feeling vulnerable, and then cap that off with an overwhelming amount of options can just feel kind of like, where do I turn? What kind of resources do I need? How do I educate myself and feel comfortable with where I'm going for my treatment journey? But I want to talk a little bit about trials, because I think this is a very special part of your story, especially how you discovered it through the Outcomes for Me app. So maybe let's transition a little bit into what is Outcomes for Me and, you know, how did you find the trial that you ultimately ended up enrolling on?
Yes, thank you. So Outcomes for Me, and full disclosure, in the intro today, I now work for this company, but at the time I was just a consumer or a user of the Outcomes for Me platform. So it's an app that is intended to provide an evidence-based education for patients just like me. So someone who does not have a medical history, but is seeking a safe place to educate themselves on their diagnosis and all of the treatment options that are available to them, including clinical trials. So during the process of determining which pieces I was going to choose for my standard of care treatment, I became a member of the Outcomes for Me app, and the information that I found there helped me in making those selections. But once that plan was set, I got brave enough to ask, what's my long-term prognosis? And unfortunately for my flavor of breast cancer, hormone positive, HER2 negative, it can recur decades down the road. And that long-term risk is not a beautiful number. And I was not comfortable with it. And so I started seeking other things that I could do. No stone left unturned, because I wanted to drive that recurrence risk down. And one of the features in the Outcomes for Me app is clinical trial matching. So as a patient, you tell the app what you know about your diagnosis. You're invited to share your medical records so that, you know, all of our clinical team can make sure that you have everything correct in the app. And then it matches you to treatment plans and recommended clinical trials that might be a fit for you. So any moms of young kids that might be listening, I was sitting in line for carpool pickup, which, you know, can be miserable, scrolling my phone, and I received a notification through the Outcomes for Me app that there was a clinical trial that might be a good fit for me. And I opened it up. I read through. They rewrite them so that it's more, it's in patient-friendly language, so you can kind of understand if it could be a potential fit for you. So I read through the inclusion-exclusion criteria that they laid out, and it sounded like a really good fit. So at my next medical oncology visit, I pitched it to my oncologist. I said, I think I want to participate in this. And his first reaction was, I know of that trial. It's a good one, but I don't think you're a good fit because you didn't have enough positive lymph nodes. And with the information in the app, I was able to say, with all due respect, I think you might be wrong. Here's the inclusion-exclusion criteria. So he looked up the trial right in the clinic room and said, you know what, you're right. I think this is an excellent fit for you. And he sent off a warm referral to a local trial site that had reached out to me before I got back to my car after the visit. Yeah.
A lot of crazy stuff happens in your car with regard to medical notifications, I have to say. But you're so spot on. I think, you know, in thinking about your particular cancer and biomarkers and how do we educate ourselves as patients and consumers, the Outcomes for Me app does just such a really engaging patient-centric job of, you know, empowering patients like you to really advocate for themselves, arm yourselves with, you know, up-to-date, really well curated knowledge that you can feel confident in. So I love that you found that trial and am just such a strong advocate for patients like you, you know, being a real voice in their own care. I think that's just such a special and impressive thing. And oncologists love that. I will say I love a patient to be engaged in their journey. But, you know, to your point, for your oncologists, it's so hard to keep up, right, with the trials where all of these different trials may be open and then emerging biomarkers. Just keeping up with the rapidity that these get approved for a special targeted therapy, this can be really challenging, especially in our kind of very busy, packed day-to-day clinical lives. But the project that you and I got to know each other really well on through Outcomes for Me was this one we focused on looking at HER2 low, which when we launched this project was hot off the press. It had just been presented at ASCO. And now there was a new targeted therapy for patients in the metastatic breast cancer space. So you and I have talked about this a lot, right? HER2 used to be a positive or negative result. But now we have kind of this in-between where patients who may have been previously negative may have actually what we now know as HER2 low or even ultra low disease. And so, you know, you and I were so ingrained in this educational and awareness campaign for Outcomes for Me. You know, what stands out to you as both someone who is a leader in this space at Outcomes for Me and as a patient, what do we need from apps like Outcomes for Me to get this education to patients?
Well, I think that we proved to each other that we can do a really effective job of quickly educating patients through technology like an app, like the Outcomes for Me app. I was blown away with the results of how we were able to not only educate, so where somebody says, I didn't know this before and now I do, but that they were encouraged and confident enough to bring that information to their oncologist and ask if that was a fit for them. And so I think that we shouldn't underestimate the power of providing really important clinical education like this through something that might not sound as sophisticated as other means, as an app, because I think it worked really, really well. And it's just a medium that we are all very comfortable with. And I think that we also proved to each of our organizations that most patients, not just the members in the app, but our members in the app are a really good sample set, right, of the general patient population, that people want this education. People want to feel confident in their decisions. And you can be highly, highly educated. You'd be a kindergarten teacher or a mechanical engineer or an astronaut, and you don't know to ask, hey, I've had this metastatic recurrence, or I've had progression after a number of years. Should we do testing to see if I may now be HER2 positive or HER2 low or HER2 ultra low? You just don't know to ask that question unless it's somehow being fed to you. And I thought that it was a beautiful exercise that we could prove that we could do that through the Outcomes for Me app.
And I'm certainly sold. And we've continued this partnership, you know, as we've expanded through another campaign, which has been ongoing, looking at HER2 as a pan-tumor indication, which, you know, is able to reach even more patients. And, you know, I've been just so impressed by the outpouring of patient engagement through it, which, to your point, shows that just a little bit of very brief education is so powerful. And, you know, without getting into the weeds of numbers from our study, it showed that, you know, the majority of patients want to have these conversations with their oncologist. You know, from your perspective, why is this nudge just so powerful for patients?
The manner in which we did it is effective because it was not a lot of content, right? We all have very short attention spans now. We are used to scrolling and getting things fast. And so I think the way that we were able to package and deliver it was in a way that in a short amount of time with, you know, very little reading and having to absorb a material enabled a patient to understand or at least have the questions that they could feel confident about asking. Because sometimes you are just intimidated. These relationships between patient and oncologist, they can become very close. I describe it sometimes as almost a spiritual relationship. But often the power feels a little bit off center, right? It doesn't always feel equal, especially for me at the beginning. It almost felt like a parent-child relationships. I really had to trust that this person knew what they were talking about and was guiding me in the right direction. And it was intimidating with not having that background to ask questions that, you know, no one wants to sound silly or uneducated. And so as much as we can provide patients with just enough understanding so that they feel intelligent in having those conversations with their provider, I think is very, very effective.
I couldn't agree more with you. And the way I would love to practice all medicine is, right, as a partnership. You know, you have this so many options sometimes, and, you know, laying them all out can feel like, you, to your point, overwhelming. But how do we eventually land on what makes the sense, most sense for you and your family right now? Now, you've been on both sides, which is certainly challenging, but both as a patient and now you have this really incredible role in a digital health space. Where do you think we are with this big gap between what patients want to know and what they're actually being told in the clinic?
We are closing the gap more and more every day. We are an excellent, safe tool at Outcomes for Me. We have a partnership with the National Cancer Coalition Network. We have on staff oncology nurses and PhDs who are our head of clinical. So we have a lot of checks and balances to make sure that we are providing evidence-based education. But we also more and more are integrating AI to be able to more quickly and more effectively produce educational materials. And we are not the only service providing this. And we are fine with that. We actually celebrate that because one of our core values at our company is patients first. We really believe in what we're doing and we want more safe places for patients to be able to get an education because the internet is the wild, wild west. And unfortunately, there is no shortage of people and companies that will take advantage of a vulnerable cancer patient for profit. And there's a lot of misinformation being spread online and through social media. And so I think with tools like ours and others that are like ours, we are closing that gap and we are able to provide an effective and meaningful education so that patients and their oncologists are feeling, I mean, peers might be a little bit more of an overstatement, but are decision makers together. Yes, yes, yes.
I love that. Now, what role do you think health equity plays in all of this? You know, you and I both have our phones sitting beside us. Does this kind of approach to patient engagement level the playing field? Is this a tool that we can use to just reach a broader patient population?
I strongly believe that this is a tool that can reach a broader patient population. So having a up-to-date treatment plan and having access to clinical trials that are appropriate for you should not be dependent on how much money you have or where you live or your race. Everybody has a phone. So if there is bias that is happening in the institution that you're being seen at, or due to in insurance demands where you're being seen isn't the ideal place that you want to be seen at, these apps, things like Outcomes for Me, can almost act like a second opinion that you just have in your pocket that you always have access to. So I strongly, strongly believe that in its potential to help democratize oncology care for all patients. That is one of my main goals and drivers for working here.
I think that makes so much sense. Now, what's one thing that you wish every patient living with metastatic breast cancer knew about HER2-low and perhaps more generally about biomarker testing in general?
I would want every person living with metastatic breast cancer to understand that the science and the research and the new treatments, things are coming out every single year, almost every 6 months. And it is so hopeful and exciting to me to be a part of this organization because I learn these things as they're happening from people way smarter than me in this space. But what feels like when you receive it, an immediate death sentence is just not true anymore. There is so much hope and there are so many options, but you have to be brave and you have to step into the role of CEO of your own health and make sure that you are advocating for every test that might be appropriate for you, like HER2-low, any of the biomarker testing that needs to be done, because what that does is unlock new treatment protocols for you. It unlocks another tool in your toolbox. It unlocks a clinical trial that may not have been appropriate for you up to this point. So it is really, really important that you make sure that you are being offered and receive all of these tests.
You're such an inspiration to me, and I know to all the patients and caregivers and families who may have a loved one with cancer. So thank you for all of your work from really the bottom of all of our hearts. You know, what at the end of the day gives you hope as a survivor, I would argue a thriver, and someone who's working so hard in this space to improve the patient experience?
Honestly, and this is not just because I like you so much, but it's individuals and doctors like you that care so much about patients and the patient experience and put ego aside and want us to truly understand what's happening to us and that we have so much hope and so many options. And I have been blessed to be the recipient of a network of people who have helped me so much. And so what really drives me and gives me hope is that I can be a small piece of somebody else's story to hope that they have as much hope and as great of outcomes as I have up to this point.
Well, I'm going to soak that in. So thank you so much for saying that. That means so much. And, you know, your story and so many patients like you that I've had the opportunity to treat are truly what drives my passion and all the oncologists I know, right? We all went into this because, you know, we believe in really meeting patients where they are, making sure you get the best possible care. So you deserve it and all and more. And I just want to thank you so much today for joining us for this conversation, Suzanne. I'd like to thank all of our listeners. That's all I think we have time for today. But until next time, we'll hope you'll join us on LabCorp Perspectives Oncology.